Blog Talk Radio.
Real gon' recognize, real gon' recognize, real gon' recognize, real, real. Phony gon' recognize, still, still, I reckon I will.
Like we always do with this time. I go for mine, I get to shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky. You go for mine, I get to shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky.
I'm sitting on the TV, mama, mama, I'ma put this down.
Welcome to the KIRP Radio Show. I am your host, Pudgy, WMMG, home of the KIRP Radio Show. We are live on this victorious and this glorious Sunday afternoon, evening, before night. Call it what you want. Today is 4/10/2011. The time is 8:03 p.m. and we are live in the KIRP studios. We are in the building. Shout out to FDF. We've been making major moves all over your community, doing what we do, baby. Shout out to everybody who's listening to the show. Shout out to everybody on the Facebook pages. Man, it is beautiful. Let me tell you something. Today, my wife and I attended church service today. And I don't know, man. You know how you feel like when you come from church and how good you feel and how great you feel and when you got some good word. I don't mean none of that boring word. Like, let me keep it 100. Some of y'all getting some boring word out there, man. Y'all go to church empty and come back home empty. Hungry, as they say. But it is what it is, man. Shout out to everybody who went and got a little piece of religion today, man. I'm feeling good. I hope you're feeling good. I know I'm loved. I know you're loved. You are B.I.G. in my book if you're listening to the show. And if you're not listening to the show, guess what? You are still B.I.G. in my book because all men shall prosper in the words of my Lord. Check it out. We got a lot to talk about tonight, and it's pretty much one topic. I mean, there's not a lot of different topics. We're not going to talk about a whole lot of different crazy stuff, but we are tonight going to talk about the black community. Surprise, if you don't know, talking about the black community. And we're going to talk about something that I always hear is so negative. I mean, oh my God. When you hear this, when you hear the name of this entity or these men or this man, in my mind, it's always, I won't say it's always negative, but a lot of the times it's so negative, man. I mean, when you hear, let me stop with the antics. No surprises. When you hear a black father, when you hear about, for example, say you're at work, right? And one of your coworkers start to talk about her baby daddy. Oh, I hate that word. Oh, kill me. I hate the baby daddy word. I can't stand it. It kills me. Baby daddy, my baby daddy, my baby. Why you can't say my child's father? Ah! Somebody take a knife and take my heart out. If I had to hear the word baby daddy one more time, I don't know what I might do. I'm going to shave my head bald or something. I can't stand the word baby daddy. Especially the ones that be like my baby daddy and all that. Man, nobody want to. Anyway. When you hear the word, so you're at work and you hear this female talking about her baby daddy. Her baby daddy does or doesn't do this. Majority of the times it's my baby daddy don't do this. My baby daddy don't do that. My baby daddy, my daggone baby daddy. Ugh. When you hear those words coming from the mouth of a female of color, no disrespect to my white females out here. Just talking about the black community for the moment. I will get on y'all in a minute. But when you hear the words, my baby daddy. I mean, let's keep it real. Now, this is the KRRP radio show. Y'all know I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to keep it 1,000% real, okay? But when you hear the words, my baby daddy, from a female of color, I will say 80% or better, at least 80% of the time, what you're hearing is something negative. And I beg to differ. If there's a difference, anybody got a difference of opinion, you're welcome to call in and challenge me on it. But I'll say 80%, I'll even say 90% of the time, when you hear baby daddy coming out of a female's mouth of color out loud, now I'm talking out loud, it's normally negative. And why is that? For the life of me, I cannot figure it out. Now, some time ago, last year on the campaign trail, our President Barack Obama, as my man say, Barack Obama, went to, I can't remember the name of the church he went to. He showed up on, it might have been Easter Sunday. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was Easter Sunday. He showed up in the church. I want to say it was in Chicago. My Chicago natives hit me up. Let me know if I'm telling the truth or not. But I want to say he showed up on Easter Sunday in a new church in Chicago after he let go of his own church because of his, you know, whatever that was about. We're not going to give Barack Obama the table tonight, Barack Obama the table tonight. But anyway, after he was talking about, he showed up on Easter Sunday and he started talking about, you know, some things about the community and, you know, things about his campaign. And then he said, black fathers. Okay? Let's get this straight. He said, black fathers. And he was like, we got to start taking some responsibility. You have to start taking some responsibility and take care of your children. You got to take care of your children. I'm like, yo, I'm listening to this dude. And I don't know where I was at the time. You know, when I heard him say the things that he was saying, and you know what, I got to keep it real with y'all. Like when he first said it, the very first time, not the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the 15th time he said it, but the very first time he said it, I identified with it. Yeah, I identified with it. You know, because I mean, Y'all know what show you on. You're keeping it real with Pudgy, so let me keep it real with you. The reason I identify with the president saying that black men needed to step up as a father is because, frankly, my father was a crap. You know what I mean? I mean, I got to tell the truth. For whatever reason it is, you know, without being disrespectful to my father, he developed a dependency on drugs that allowed him not to be the father he should have been or could have been and probably wanted and desired to be. So I identify with the president saying that black fathers needed to take more responsibility. Now, with that said, I also thought about my grandfather and also thought about my stepfather. Let me go to my stepfather for a minute. Now, I identify with it with my stepfather because he developed the dependency on drugs as a young man, okay? Now, normally, when you hear the word my baby daddy, you hear all these things. You hear he's not taking care of the kid. He has some kind of dependency. He's got this other girlfriend. And he take care of her kids. And I mean, you hear all sorts of things within the black community that spills outside of the black community. And people think they think that they can. I don't know. It's kind of like talking about I could talk about my mama, but you can't talk about my mama. It's one of those things to me. It's kind of a catch-22 because on one hand, we can all identify, no matter what race you are, what community you're from, we can all identify with some black man not being what they should be as a dad or as a father. But on another side, there was somebody there. We've all seen somebody, whether it was a friend that had a good dad, whether it was an uncle or a cousin who was a good dad or a neighbor, there was always, for me, I guess I need to speak for myself, there was always someone that I could look and refer to as a good father. And on the flip side of that, even though my father had his drug dependency, I could look at him and identify a good father within him because I knew that he loved me. And so, you know, let me backtrack and going back, here's what happens, right? We vent out and we start talking about things that touch us, things that bother us about our dad in our community or about the dads in our community. Now, that's on a local platform, okay? And all across the nation, probably all throughout the world, certain neighborhoods and certain communities feel certain ways about their fathers or about the men in their community that aren't being responsible. Okay, that's cool. We understand that. But taking it a step further, the president at that time was like the great black hope for the black community. I mean, y'all can say what you want. A lot of people looked at Barack Obama and said, man, we got a black man that's going to run for president. Hooray, hooray, hurrah. I hope he wins just because he's black. Didn't care nothing about where he came from. Didn't care nothing about what he stood for. But the minute you heard him say, y'all black fathers, you need to take care of your babies. You just need to take care of your babies. You need to be more responsible. And I'm bugging, right? I'm looking at this dude, and like I said, now when he first said it, I identified with it. But then I sat back and I thought, like, wow, here's the golden opportunity to say, you black men, I understand that a lot of you aren't taking care of your responsibilities, but look at me. In my mind, that could have easily been the message. A lot of you aren't doing this or that, but look at me. I'm married to a beautiful black woman with beautiful black babies. Have black, call it what you want, but beautiful babies, I'll say that. Let me be politically correct for some of you all, or ethnically correct. Here I am, a black man, because he calls himself a black man. Let's get it straight. whether he is or not, he calls himself a black man. So I thought his message could have been, despite all, and this was Easter Sunday, man. That's what killed me. Like, it was Easter Sunday that the house was packed, the choir was singing, everybody in there was fresh to life, fresh for life, dressed down, they best Sunday brand new suits out the closet, wingtips like the mob, all over the place. People was fresh in there. You know, the atmosphere felt good. And here come this dude, scroll on the stage. Hi, yes, I'm Barack Obama. And you need to take care of your babies. And I'm like, man, is that all that people see? Because if that was all that people saw or all that people see, he just sealed the deal. He just sealed the deal saying that we do not take care of our babies as black men. The black community, black men in the black community don't know anything about taking care of their babies because we're not responsible, according to him. He just sealed the deal for our fate to the rest of the world, despite of what we thought, despite of what we were striving to do, despite of the things, the obstacles that you have to overcome to take care of your kids, even when they're in your household. Imagine trying to take care of a child when they're outside of your household. Now then comes along a great black hope before the world. The black president on his campaign trail, knowing that all the black people about to vote for him just because he identified with and calls himself black. Doesn't matter if he's African or white. That's another subject. Here comes the man that just sealed the deal. All you black men out there, you need to take care of your babies. You need to be responsible. You're not responsible. You need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, you need to do that. And I thought that he could have easily got up there and said, let me get it straight now. Let me be straight about it. When I first heard it, I identified with it, like I said, because I was bitter about my father, bitter about some of my other cousins' father, some of my neighbors when I grew up, some of their fathers. I've seen people that I've known my whole life and never knew who their father was, never saw him. But walk past them once a week downtown. Understand, I'm from that walk of life, so I identify with what he said. But when I sat back, like we all commonly do, you know, most of us are people of enthusiasm. We love momentum. When the momentum's high and the cries singing and the hoorahs are going and the preachers clapping and ha, and we love it. Instead of taking the time and listening to the words that the people are saying or identifying with what they're saying. I thought he could have easily said to my black brothers out there, I'm here to tell you that you have a choice. I'm here to show you and be the example of something that I'm sure you want to be. I know that you desire to take care of your kids, but I know the obstacles that you have to overcome. I realize it. I've been in Chicago. In the pits and in the slums and in the poor neighborhoods and in some of the rich neighborhoods, and I know the troubles that you have to overcome. I am your example, and here's what you must do to take those steps if you're not already doing it. I encourage you to continue trying to take care of your babies, but it's more work that needs to be done. We did not get that message. What he did was rolled in on the backs of women who felt the same way that we felt. Especially at that emotional time. And as I sat back and reflected, okay, so he didn't do it that time. So there were several other occasions that we heard that. Several other occasions that we heard that. The spokesman of the black man, the presidential nominee at the time, the president of the United States right now, continued to go on his campaign trail and travel all around the globe and continue to tell people that black men, you don't take care of your responsibilities and your deadbeat dads. And I think in my mind, I think that sealed the deal. I think that people who looked at it a different way, never saw it a different way again. They were down with what Obama said, and that's the only thing that stuck in their mind. And I don't agree with it. So my question to you all who's listening, my question is, and I mean, I have my own opinion, but my question is, are all black fathers bad? That's my question. I'm going to a commercial. I'll come back and I'll take a caller.
Do you have a garage full of old junk? At least you think it's old junk. How about a storage that you've been paying the bill on for so long and you've just been moving stuff into and you're ready to get rid of it when you look at it all the time? Well, if you do, make sure you contact Faulkner's Antiques before you throw it away. Again, that's Faulkner's Antiques out of Burlington, North Carolina. Faulkner's will pay you top dollar for estates, sterling, old furniture, pottery, signs, old toys, and etc. Faulkner's Antiques, they specialize in some of the most prolific antiques in this part of Eastern North Carolina or the USA. So make sure you contact Wayne Prophet at Faulkner's Antiques, 336-214-6427. Again, that's Wayne Prophet. That's the man you want to talk to at Faulkner's Antiques, 336-214-6427. And if you get a hold of Wayne, guess what? He'll come to you free of charge. And if you can't get to him at that number, make sure you dial this other number, 336-675-4897. And don't forget, Wayne Prophet at Faulkner's Antiques says, don't forget the reason for the season. Heat messing up in this winter. Is the snow just getting on your last daggone nerves? Are you cold and you gotta put on a snuggie in the house? That's not comfortable. No, it's not comfortable. Are you a grown man wearing your wife's footies? Are they pink? You scared to go check your mailbox with your wife's footies on and as cold as it is inside as it is outside? Well, I'll tell you what you do. If you're looking for a friend, contact Riley Heating and Cooling. If your ductwork needs a facelift, Riley Heating and Cooling will facelift your ductwork. Are you getting the most for your dollar? If you're not, Riley Heating and Cooling will make sure you get the most for your dollar. Ask about their five-point inspection service. They have trained professionals that offers 25 years of experience. To contact Riley Heating and Cooling, call 336-263-5111. Again, that's 336-263-5111, and you'll find a friend at Riley Heating and Cooling.
Yeah, WMMG, home of the KRRP radio show, and we are back, baby. You are 100% in the building with me, and you are B.I.G. in my book, and I appreciate you taking your time listening to this broadcast. Today's show is man, it's a touching show to me. I feel real passionate about it because I'm a black father myself. I have four children in my household and one son outside of my household that I love and will die for today right now before you. And I'm here standing as the example. And telling everybody, telling all the fathers out there who going through something, man, keep your head up. Y'all can do it. We're going to go through this thing together. Hey, amen. It's a lifetime struggle. The jobs are low. Everybody's talking and nobody's walking in your shoes. You have to do whatever you have to do to take care of your responsibilities. And I understand that. I'm not going to keep talking to death. We got, it looks like, five or six callers up here, so I'm going to get people on the line. I'm going to go to my brother Saeed out of the 832. Saeed, you're on the line, brother. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm real good.
Yeah, I wanted to make a little comment here on the subject matter you're talking about. You seem pretty passionate about it, particularly about President Obama and just the subject in general. I didn't hear, just to follow up on what you on your statement about the president, I did not hear the actual talk when he mentioned it. I don't know, do a campaign. I guess he mentioned it on a campaign, do a speech engagement. But I did read something about it over the net about black men need to take care of their responsibilities. I remember reading that part. And, you know, I can't really argue with President Obama. I mean, he has a point. Black men need to take care of their children, because these black women are not going to do it.
Absolutely.
I mean, see, that I think that's what the president was really actually saying. Because, I mean, you know, You know, I've lived a long time, and I've raised six kids.
Right.
All six of my kids were in my household.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult raising just one kid now, let alone six.
Amen.
And all, you know, all, yeah, and all my kids, they grown now. You know, a couple of them are out of college, a couple of them in college. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult. And I came from a background, you know, I'm a 1960 guy. You know, my dad wasn't even in the house. I mean, my dad left, I guess, when he left when I was 3 years old, maybe 2 years old.
Uh-huh.
And my dad was an alcoholic. And, in fact, that's what killed him was alcohol. That's why I don't drink today.
Jeez.
You know, and I don't drink because I knew my dad was alcoholic.
Right.
But the fact that I knew that alcohol is what drove him out of the house was enough for me not to want to get involved with alcohol. Now, that's just me. But my point is this. You know, a family can still be successful if the dad is not in the house, and even more successful if the dad is not in the house, but he's still involved in the children's well-being.
Sure.
And, you know, quite frankly, is the problem really is not men. I'm just going to be honest. See, the world... or our society don't want to tell the truth because females are so important nowadays because of the population, because many of them are more in the job sector. But if you got a weak woman in your house, you got a real good chance of having a weak man.
Mm.
You know, my mama was a real strong woman. She raised five kids pretty much by herself.
Right.
And when I was growing up I grew up in the real projects, not what you see today.
What city are you from, Sari?
I'm from Nashville. I grew up near Tennessee State, one of the homes of Black Panthers, Fish University.
Okay.
I saw all of that. Black Panther, I saw it all.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw the riots, the streets burners. See, a lot of people ain't never seen military tanks driving down the street.
Wow.
See, well, that was a time when they had military tanks and jeeps with machine guns driving down the streets because that's how bad the riots were. See, I grew up in that era.
Right.
A lot of people. So my point is that, you know, if you have a weak woman in the house, you're going to produce a weak man who's going to then produce another weak family, and it's going to cycle. You got to have a strong, even if that man is not in that house,
mm-hmm.
You still got to have that strong woman there. Now, if you want to break the cycle, get you a strong woman, produce a strong man, and you'll break the cycle.
So
if you got a woman,
go ahead.
No, but if you got a woman that's weak, most likely she gonna produce a weak man. And the only thing can say that young boy is that either he's gonna have to have a strong cousin,
uh-huh.
or a strong uncle, a strong male figure, or somebody in the community or in the education system is mm-hmm. going to have to pick him up and look over his development. Otherwise, he's going to be weak.
Mm.
So my point is that you got all these families out here. The economic system is bad on black men. That's what people are not saying. The black unemployment rate is 30%, and the black male's rate is almost 50%.
Wow.
So, you know, if you can't take – if a brother's got to take care of his kids or he got to pay child support, he ain't working. He's already in trouble. So, you know, understanding that situation, you're right. You're going to have to do – what you have to do. I'm not saying do anything illegal. So I'm not
Absolutely.
Telling these brothers.
Yeah, we
yeah,
don't promote
but
that.
Have,
not at all.
Yeah, exactly. But you're going to have to kind of man up and take care of your kids, particularly your sons, because I can promise you these women not going to do it.
Well, Sai, let me ask you a question, brother. What do you think about, okay, oftentimes I hear that, and I hear a lot of people say this, and I guess there's some facts behind it, but do you feel like a woman alone can raise a man properly without a man being in a child's life?
Well, a woman can raise a man to a certain level.
Okay.
In fact, what has been lost up until age maybe 13, a woman should be raising a man, a young boy, because a man got to learn sensitivity. He's got to learn emotion. He's got to learn certain fear. And a woman's nature is the best nature to bring that and choke short of the man. That's why all these brothers are so cold nowadays, the woman, because they haven't really got the kind of nurturing from the female. The women trying to act like men nowadays, they haven't got the kind of nurturing from the female that'll bring that out. It's in there, all males. Remember, you got Y chromosomes too. You got X and Y chromosomes. So you do have some of that sensitivity genetically in you.
Right.
But a woman got to kind of bring that out. Now, once you get to a certain age, then you got a man got to kick in and teach you how to be a man, teach you to bring you from a boy to an adolescent to a man. I had the opportunity. My uncle, who was a World War II a Korean, you know, decorated soldier,
mm-hmm.
you know, he came into my life at around 13. You know, and by seeing him and how he did things and, you know, how he worked with my cousins and everything, and I kind of hung out with him, and from about age 12 on up, he kind of gave me, you know, a pattern to kind of follow after. If he had not been there, I'm not sure what happened. You know, I don't know. You know, but the reality was that he was there. But a woman, she can do, I mean, can a woman do it all the way to 18? Sure she can. If she has the training and if she has the willpower and the wherewithal, but nowadays most of these girls ain't been trained. Their mothers didn't train them to do that. So they just doing something for a boy. Make sure my boy got the best clothes, the best sneakers, the best the fashion clothes. You know, that's what they think. That's doing something for. That's not raising a man. You raising a little punk.
Well, see, you know what? I'm glad you said that. Hold on. That. See, now here's something I want you to do, because here's a golden opportunity, man. I got over 126,000 listeners, a lot of who will not comment to save their life, and that's fine. No disrespect to them. But here's your chance. Listen, let me ask you, Saeed, what can a woman do to raise that child? What should a woman do, or what steps do you believe a woman should do to raise that boy or girl? Because remember, when you first came on, you said, you know, the men have to do it because some of these sorry women won't do it. And now you name off some of the things that the younger girls do. So if a younger girl is listening to this show right now that one day will become a woman, what should she do to raise that child? Because you were raised from a woman, so I know that you have some ideas.
Yeah, well, one of the things she needs to do is stop calling him nigga. You know, stop calling him nigga. Nigga do this, nigga do this. Don't call him nigga. Don't even use the term. My mama never used the term in the house. She never addressed me as nigga. Okay? Number two is, you know, don't always, I know we got video and games and stuff. This is a technology. You can't get around it. But force that kid, particularly that male, to have some time where he has to study. If you don't study, then you ain't watching TV. You ain't watching video games.
Right.
And stop giving him $100 shoes. Ooh. Damn, he got $100 shoes for he ain't got no, he don't know mathematics. You know, you need to, and that's, you know, stop giving him everything. So he, you know, make him wash some dishes, make him vacuum some floors, make him make up his bed. And he don't get up at the, stop eating. Let him go in the kitchen or let her go in the kitchen. You know, you make breakfast at 8 o'clock. They don't get up to 10 o'clock. And you're not ready. The breakfast they got cold. Now they get up. They want to make them a bowl of cereal, eat some Pop-Tart. Make them get up out of the bed and eat with everybody else. Get your lazy butt up out of the bed. See, all this stuff is going to instill in that person, in that young person, tenacity and the responsibility that when mama say, hey, it's time to get up. We eat at 8 o'clock in the morning. I don't come in and eat. You know, I would, when my kids was growing up, If you didn't eat at eight o'clock in the morning, we all ate together. All six of us around the table. You didn't get up, you just missed your breakfast. So we go in my damn refrigerator and what you want to eat. You gotta wait for lunch, come on. That's what you gotta do. We ate dinner together. Okay? We had dinner at 8 o'clock, 8:30. I had six kids. So they start taking a bath at 6:30. You got 15 minutes to take a bath. You got to be out. Wash that tub out. I don't know dirt in that tub. The next one got to come in there. You got to wash that tub out. The next. It's just like being in the military. You got to train them like that. Because you know why? If you don't do it, if you don't do it, let you get out in the street when you get 18, 19, that law will tell you, boy, shut up when I tell you to shut up. You're going to run to your mouth, you're going to bust you upside the head and take you downtown. Then you're going to be talking about, oh, man, my rights been messed with. You didn't circumvent my rights. You ain't got no rights now. So you got to train these kids to understand the reality of society. And as they get older, you know, tell them, you know, just stop telling them, you know, Michael Jackson is cool. I grew up with Michael Jackson. But take them kids to the library sometime, read about some black inventors, some black scientists. If you don't have a man in your family, find a black teacher. Go get a woman, a white man, no Asian man. Go find you a black scientist. Look up, you got the internet. Go on the internet and find one in your neighborhood. Find you a black educator. Go to the university.
Saeed.
Put your son down and your daughter down and let them do that.
Saeed, my man.
Yes, sir.
Saeed.
Yes, sir.
With me, brother. You just started preaching,
I'm sorry, brother.
I'm not upset. I just said you were going in. You were going in, bro. Let me ask you one simple. I guess it's not simple. Let me ask you one more question, Saeed, bro. One more. And this is the topic of the show. Are all black fathers? Let me rephrase it. Are majority black fathers bad or no good, Saeed?
No, sir. Most of the black fathers are good, and they're hard, they're good. But, you know, many of them don't have the skills. They don't have the educational skills. They don't also have the interpersonal skills because they never learned them. So now they're in a situation, they don't know what to do. So somebody's going to tell them what to do, but they're going to have to listen. They're going to have to listen if they want to get it right. And ain't nothing wrong with not knowing. That's not, and nothing wrong with being ignorant. What's wrong with being stupid when you know you don't know and then you don't want to ask nobody?
Isn't there a certain degree of common sense that we can apply to taking care of a child? Like, if you don't have the money, you have the time. And in my mind, a lot of our fathers aren't taking the time to take care of their kids. Now, there are a whole host of men that are. But a lot of people aren't putting in the time. Now, there's a different thing going on because you got to look at the economy right now as well. A lot of us, or all of us, are having to work two and three different jobs. A lot of black men aren't educated, but so they're having to work the jobs that some other people would not work. So it's a more strenuous job. It's a more physical job, and the labor's different. So it takes them a while to get relaxed. I mean, you know, you got to relax when you come from work, and then before you know it, you don't have time to go take care of the kid. I think that part of that is the untold story. Because if you look at your days, how much actual time do you have during the week, Saeed, to take care of an additional problem that you're not facing right now or another child? Do you have an extra 5 hours a night to take care of another child right now?
Well, you know, I'm a business person right now. You know, I guess, like I said, all my kids are raised. But see, you make a good point. Do you have extra 5 hours? Okay. Look, if it's your child, man, you know, you say I got 24 hours in a day. I don't have enough time. Then make time. You made time for that basketball game. You made time for the NFL. You made time for that baseball game. That's your son. That's your daughter, man. Make time. You know,
I like that.
You gotta prioritize what's really important to you. I know your daddy wasn't no good, so what? Hell, my daddy wasn't no good. What you gonna cry? Put yourself up, man. So watch your snotty nose and figure what you gotta do. I know your dad didn't do this. Okay? I'm talking to these black males out here. Nobody don't like me, nobody don't love me, ain't nobody done a damn thing for me. Okay, but the thing is that if you really care about your offspring, you know, then you make time. And, you know, and if maybe you're not a religious person. If you're a religious person, go to church, pray about it. Maybe you're just a spiritual person, fine. Then do the yoga, do the Buddha, Tao, whatever you got to do, you know, and then get your focus. Get your focus. Get your focus on yourself.
Hold on. I'm gonna put you on with somebody else I got on the line. Hang on 1 second.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
All right.
I got a question for you. At the beginning, you said that the reason why black men are not taking care of their children is because of weak women. Now, with the state of females today, you have females that are graduating college at a higher rate than men. You have women that are becoming more successful in business. They are taking care, of their business overall. I think that a single female that is taking care of 1, 2, 3 children by herself and doing a good job of it, because there are women out there that are doing that, I don't see anything weak about them. Now, my question to you is, can you, because you said they were weak, but, you know, you didn't give any real basis on what you meant by them being weak or how they are weak. Now, if you have a weak female in the household, part of the job of a man and a woman is them to sharpen each other, like the scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens the countenance of another friend. So if a female is weak, how does that translate to a man being weak? Why can't the man be strong to help build up that female?
Okay, let me answer your question. Okay, you know, woman, you spell woman, W-O-M-A-N, woman. But it comes from the original word, W-O means, it comes from the word, original word, if you go back to the etymology, trace the word etymology, it means womb. So woman actually means womb of man. And man, the thing that distinguishes man from the physical creatures that roam in nature, is his ability to think outside of the box being physical matter. So man really is mental. So woman means womb of mind. All right. Now, that being the case, that woman have to nurture not only the female mind, but also the male mind up to a certain point. If the male is not getting the fundamental basis, which means a character, it means internal focus, in terms of stature, then by the time he gets up in age, he can make very good grades in school, or he may not. But as a man, as a person who's capable of handling certain situations, he's not going to be in a position to. So even if he goes and gets a degree, he's still going to treat his woman like she ain't nothing, because he ain't been taught the relationship between himself and his woman, because his mother, even though she had a degree, she ain't been taught. And, okay, you know, I'm not telling you from esoterical when we say theory. Let me take this a point first. Now, I have a master's degree in physical inorganic chemistry, and I'm not going to even get into the stuff. Let me get to that point right quick. Yes, sir. The point is, I've taught in the educational system. I've taught middle school. I've taught high school. I have seen the product of these black homes and white homes in the last 15 years. And I'm here to tell you that with all their degrees, that black male, when he sits in the classroom, and I talk chemistry, and I ask the question.
I hear what you're saying, brother, but you still didn't answer the question why women are weak. Now, when you look at the black family historically, back when, you know, we down here in the South, a lot of mills and factories, when the men were working 10, 12-hour days, it was the female that was home raising them, all them young
that
they was
you
having. Now,
I
know,
but
I'm saying you're talking about
women,
chemistry.
Hold on, brother.
Let me ask both you guys something while I got y'all on the line here. One second. Let me ask both you guys something. Give me three examples, just three, three examples of what we call, because the show we're talking about, Bad Fathers, somehow, according to my man Saeed, and I got Kevin Daniels on the other side of that, I want to know three examples of three characteristics of a weak woman that can cause a black father to be bad. Y'all understand? You got that, Saeed?
Sure.
You got that, Kevin?
Yeah.
Give me three characteristics of a woman that's dropping the ball and how that can cause a black father to be bad. I'll let you go first, Saeed, then Kevin, you can chime in right behind him.
Okay. One of the characteristics is brow-bashing the male. That's one. Basically, you know, saying you ain't going to ever be nothing. You know, you just like your daddy. That kind of thing. Okay, that's one thing. The second thing is when the not supporting, when you have a woman that will not support the male,
right,
in his educational system, in the situations, not just going to school and buying the books. For example, kid comes home, she says, why you got to be, well, the teacher, you know, she's, when I say such and such, she never, well, you just need to study hard. You know, well, she said your conduct is not good.
Right.
So she goes to the school, and she says, well, you know, his conduct is not always good. Sometimes he spaces out, he looks out the window. Well, you need to so-and-so. And the guy says, well, Mom, you know, she don't, when I do so, she don't pay. She's not supporting him because he might be telling her something's going on, and she just assuming that he's doing bad. Okay?
Okay, two, so not supporting. And three?
Okay, not support. And then the last thing is not superficial superficial aspects of life over the I would say substantial tangible things, like, you know, like you know like she goes to his basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but let's say she do, or she let me go back. She doesn't necessarily go to basketball, but she allows him or directs him only in activities that the society suggests that black approval, but mm-hmm. she don't say, well, you know, James, you know, why don't we go do this, to this culture thing or this thing? Yeah, I'm talking about at a young age, not old. I'm talking about, you know, when they 8, 9, or 10. Why don't we go? You know, they having the science fair, such and such and such. You have a small amount of women to do that, but a large amount of them don't.
Right, so I.
And you don't have to have a degree to do that.
So what you mean? You're saying that, you know, don't always support the playing basketball, but support the spelling bee as well, right?
Yeah, you know, different other things. Again, a young age, to get them directed in situations where they can see black men making a contribution to society outside of athletics.
Okay, I know. I got that. Well, Kevin Daniels, I got you on the line. What do you think? Let me ask you, what do you think about the whole premise of that?
I think that, you know, to answer your question about what makes a woman weak, in my opinion, there's a number of things. But I think one is what makes a woman weak is that is a woman without a backbone, a woman that'll let just a man run over top of her, treat her any kind of way, beat on her, yell at her, cuss her out, treat her like she ain't nothing. Without speaking up, without defending herself, you know, I think that is a weak person, and that if you have children growing up in that type of environment, that's going to reflect negatively on the children, because they're going to grow up beating up on their wife, they're going to grow up cursing out their women. So I think that if a female is in that type of relationship, for one, if she stay in that relationship, she's crazy, and I think that that's a weak female.
Okay, well. You know what, fellas? Both you guys make some valid points. Right this minute, I got to go to a commercial. Saeed, Kevin Daniels, I appreciate you guys calling in, man. I appreciate you being here, Kevin. Saeed, I appreciate you calling in and giving us, you know, enlightening us on some things that you believe.
Hey, man, look here. Let me right quick. My mom, man, my daddy used to beat on my mom. And my stepdaddy beat him up. My mom pulled out a pistol, man. I remember I was 3 years old, shot at my stepdaddy. I do remember that.
Yeah.
And I ain't never beat a woman in my life. Matter of fact, I took care of a bunch of women, so, you know, and put them through school and stuff. So, I mean, it just depends on what kind of mother you got, I'm telling you. A mother can do it, but it's a lot easier with a good man. That's all I'm saying.
No, man, I appreciate you, man, and I value your opinion, man. I definitely hear what you're saying, man. I personally think it takes two, so I understand what you're saying. I got to go to a commercial. Saeed, I appreciate you calling, brother. We're going to a commercial. Everybody, stay tuned. You're listening to the KRRP radio show.
If you need to do some recording and you're from the DMC area, I want you to look up this company because they have everything that you need for your recording project, no matter what it may be. Any kind of vocal recording you need to do, any kind of spoken word, maybe you want to record a CD, maybe you want to do some commercials or some voiceovers, or maybe you just want to send a loved one, I don't know, a nice little voice note. Look up this company, on the web, it's www.satnamrecords.com. That's SATNAM records.com. Satnam Records is an immaculate, a beautiful place, let me tell you. When you walk in the studio, you'll feel the comfort of your own home. I promise you, anytime you go into this place, you're just going to want to get on the couch and lay on the couch or lounge around. But don't forget, they're charging by the hour. So don't get in there and lounge around and lay around too long because I think they're going to be looking for some extra money. But anyway, check this company out, Satnam Records, www.satnamrecords.com. If you need to call them, they offer free consultations. And I tell you what, I'll throw you a bone. If you let them know that you heard it on KIRP radio show, they'll give you a free hour of recording time. That's right, 1 free hour of recording time. And they also run in a promo package for everybody that heard it on this show, $35 an hour. This is to record in a professional, real deal recording studio and label, I might add. So check it out. If you're in the DMC area, look them up, Satnam Records, 45975 Noakes Boulevard, Suite 100. In Sterling, Virginia, phone number is 571-323-8191. Again, that's 571-323-8191.
You're listening to WMMG, home of the KIRP radio show, baby. We are now 100,000 listeners strong, and it's all because of you. If you want more information about KIRP radio show, hit us up online. You can visit the website at www.kirpradioshow.com. Again, that's www.kirpradioshow.com. If you're logging online and you're on some social sites, make sure you hit us up and like our page on Facebook. That's facebook.com/KIRP Radio Show. Add yourself to the page. You can leave a comment. You can talk about the topics, and we'll try our best to get them on and read them off on the show. And if you're also on Twitter, send us a tweet at @KIRP Radio Show, or you can hit up the host, and that's me, that's Pudgy, @NC Pudgy. Like I said, we are now over 100,000 listeners strong, and it's all because of you, baby. We started out November 28th, 2010, and now we're taking it through 2011 and beyond. We are the KIRP Radio Show, and if you don't know what that stands for, that's Keeping It Real with Pudgy, baby. If you want more information about emailing, or you want information about advertising, or you want to know where we're going to be here and there, hit us up, KIRPradio@gmail.com or WMMG500@gmail.com, and someone will get back to you as soon as possible. Like I said, it's all because of you, baby. 100,000 listeners strong, and we're going on from here. I appreciate you, and one love.
Hey, if it's night at 9:30 p.m. and you got nothing to do, I want you to make some time.
Grab your slippers, get your robe on, get some comfortable clothes on, leave your rollers in your hair, and get cozy, real cozy, with a drink in your computer. If you've ever been to a coffee shop before, this is a coffee shop you've never seen before, right in the comfort of your own home. Late Night Mike, every Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m., starring your host, Katrina Watkins, poet extraordinaire, and the host Act Right, my man holds it down for Purely Poetic Late Night Mike Poetry Show. Hey, if you wanted some good poetry in your life, make sure you log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/purely-poetic.
MMG, home of the KIRP radio show. You're listening to Pudgy, Keeping It Real with Pudgy radio show. We are talking about why are black men bad fathers, or are they? That's the topic of the show. We've had some interesting conversation going on here with Kevin Daniels and my man just called in, Saeed, Professor Saeed, actually. My man from the 832, but really don't know exactly, you know, where the city is from. I think he said Tennessee. Saeed had a different twist about the topic of the show. According to that gentleman, he said that, Saeed, you can hit me back, correct me if I'm wrong, but he said that women, weak women were the problem and were the cause of these fathers not taking care of their responsibilities. I got a caller from the 252. Hey, man, everybody who's calling in, you guys press 1. Hit me up, 619-638-8559 on your phone. If you are listening on the phone and you want to dial into the, you want to listen through the website, maybe, you know, you get a phone call or something, hit us up at www.kirpradioshow.com. You can also get us on Twitter. That's @KIRP Radio Show. Or hit me up. Make sure you add us too, folks. You got to add us. @NC Pudgy. That's me. @KIRP Radio Show is the show. You can also get us on YouTube, man. You know what it is. YouTube.com/what? KIRP Radio Show. That's right. 619-638-8559. Hit us up. Make sure you hit the 1 if you want to comment. You got something to say. Go into a caller from the 252. Caller, you are on the line. 4211. What's up? Hello, you are on the line with P, and we keep it real. Yo.
What up, P? This is your boy Kenny Wilson, 252 Wild Way, North Carolina.
What up, baby? That's a good father on the line. I already know what it is right here, baby.
Yeah, you know, I just want to call, comment on, you know what I'm saying, what I've been hearing.
Yeah.
I want to say that all black fathers, you know, bad or whatnot.
My man, I need a round of applause for that one. I wish I could get a round of applause for that one. My man. Explain how you feel about when you hear that all black fathers are bad, or when you hear the majority of people talking about, you know, black fathers are bad, because the media, they go in on us, Kenny, man.
Yeah, really, yeah, they go in on us, you know what I'm saying? It's kinda like I really have mixed emotions about it, you know what I'm saying? Used to I really just used to get mad, but it's kinda sad really. You know, mm-hmm. how to kind of put it down and whatnot. I mean, like they always say, one bad apple don't spoil it for everybody. You know what I'm saying?
That's real.
But, that's, I mean, real. I always have bad fathers. It ain't just us, you know?
That's right. That's right.
But, I mean, like me, I can't say, I mean, honestly, I had my father and my mother, you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
I had, like, two strong parents that made me the man I am today, you know?
That's right.
And, you know, I had a lot of friends that didn't have fathers, though, you know. But,
wow.
I mean, every time they used to come around my house or whatever, you know, my dad would tell them the same thing he tell me, you know what I'm saying, encourage them, stuff like
right.
that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Some strayed, some didn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I got cats coming up to me today. Like, man, I appreciate, you know what I'm saying, you having a father to talk to me, like, you know what I'm saying, treating me like he was my dad, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
But basically, you know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, that's something that, see, you don't, in my opinion, Kenny, man, here's what I think about the whole situation. I already know that it's hard as hell being a black man in society today. Despite of what anybody thinks, I am sorry if you feel a different kind of way. I'm sorry if I sit on these political panels with you all, and you maybe you want to bless me out for what I'm saying, but I'm gonna tell y'all straight up, it is not a cakewalk being a black man the way this society has sculpted it today. Now it's a lot easier than it once was. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted, my black brothers who are out there who, you know, like, yeah, that's right. Nah, ain't no, yeah, that's right. This is a two-sided coin. And it's really hard to be a responsible black father only because you have so many fathers and black fathers that aren't doing what they're supposed to do.
Right,
so,
right.
So, you know, when you do the things that you're supposed to do, it's not talked about.
Right.
And I mean, you know, we don't do it for anybody to talk about it. We do it because that's what we're supposed to do, and we're taking care of our responsibilities. We're taking care of our kids. But God knows, sometimes you want to hear job well done, good job.
Right. I mean, everybody want to hear that every now and then. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You can do all good, and then the first mistake you make, you know what I'm saying, you're probably going to hear like, well, I know it'll be a matter of time, you know what I'm saying, just like the rest of them, whatever, you know.
Right.
Can't really. I mean, you get bashed, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, a hell of a lot quicker than the rest of society in the public eye anyway, you know.
Right, cause you black and you're a black man, so you supposed to mess up, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But you know, I mean, I'm married, I got a daughter, you know what I'm saying? She'll be 2 next month.
Hey.
And, I do my thing. I got to work hard every day for my family, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Always, you know what I'm saying, from a young age. I kind of had a mature fast, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So I always stood on my own 2 feet. I ain't never asked nobody for nothing. None of that. Like, all we got out there and got it legally on my own, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But, I mean, I was fortunate to have a father to show me the way.
Sure.
You know?
Do you think that you having your father to show you the way made a world of a difference? Like, do you think you would have strayed? And I know it's hard to see because you got a strong mother, too. And I heard you say that. You know what I mean? I definitely heard you say that. But do you think you would have strayed had your father not been there? Do you think your father being there made a huge impact on your life?
Most definitely. I don't take nothing from no black mother or whatever, you know what I'm saying? But
True.
Sometimes, it takes a man, you know what I'm saying, to knock his son upside the head to get him right. I mean, bottom
right.
line, you know what I'm
right.
saying? I had a couple of moments. I mean, I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah.
I had friends that was in a single mother, you know what I'm saying, home, and they ended up just as good as I did. So I can't say that. Not having a father, have you to stray. I mean, because you can stray even having a mother and a father. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's just things that you go through growing up. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so I just kind of like, you know, that's just my opinion, though. You know what
right.
I mean? But what I think really, man, basically, man, a lot of black men that you do just, stand up, take care of their responsibility. And I listen to a lot of stuff. I don't really comment on a lot of stuff unless I'm asked. And I'm going to give
sure.
a person my honest opinion. I'm very opinionated.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? I'm going to just give it to you straight, raw, uncut. You know what I'm saying? Right. Stepping on toes.
That's
but
right.
I hear a lot of men, you know what I'm saying, say like, I mean, I pay child support, so that's enough. Basically what I get out of it. But speaking from experience, I got a young daughter. That $300 or $400 a month,
mm-hmm.
that ain't taking care of that kid.
Say it again. Say that one more time for me, bro. Say that one more time.
That $300 or $400 a month, it ain't taking care of your kid. Trust me, from experience.
Wow.
Decker alone could be $600 on up a month. That ain't counting food, a roof over that baby head, light bill, you know what I'm saying? It don't matter. It don't matter what you're going through with your baby mom or whatever. That's just an excuse to me. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I feel.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? That child still needs you in their life.
Wow, that was powerful. Definitely powerful.
You feel how you want to feel. You feel how you want to feel about it, but that's what I feel. You know what I'm saying?
True indeed. Let me ask you one more question, K-Man. Okay, looking at it from, let me just say it like this: what kind of advice could you give to some of the brothers out here? Because truthfully, man, I've encountered a lot of people all over this country, all over this world, internationally too. I've encountered a lot of people who have the will to do better and have the
right.
will to do good. But like my cousin Travis said, man, we just can't get right. You know what I mean? It's always something. It's always a setback. So
right.
despite of what our president had to say, because he didn't, to me, he didn't say the right thing. His words weren't
right.
encouraging at all. How can you
right.
encourage another brother who's just trying to get right, man, who want to give up, who's like, you know what, I pay her that child support and that's enough? Because we know, I know that that's not enough, man. I know that
right.
a presence matters, you know, a phone
right.
call matters, a lecture
right.
matters. What kind of advice can you give another brother who's just trying to do right? And some of the mothers, by the way.
Man, my thing is, all I can say is just keep your faith. A must see the faith take you a long ways. Don't
Ooh.
Give up.
Wow.
Don't never give up. That's all. I mean, you know, and I ain't trying to speak like I'm perfect. I mean, sometimes you just got to fall on your knees. I mean,
That's
you know
right.
what I'm saying? I'm not perfect.
No, but none
you know
of us
saying?
Are. That's right.
But I take care of my, I handle my business. I really handle it well.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm young. I'm 27 years old. So, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's my generation, basically. You know what
sure.
I'm saying? We supposed to be like, the cursed generation. You know what I'm saying? Make a baby, don't take care of him. But you know what I'm saying? Honestly, man, speaking, every time I look into my daughter's eyes, I just wonder how a person can make a baby and, you know, don't take care of it. Because me personally, as a man, I couldn't even look in the mirror in the morning.
Mm. I can hear it in your voice, man. I know what you're saying is real. If you had, you know what, like, it's something I believe in. I believe in giving people their flowers while they're alive, despite of giving them to them when they're passed. I understand people pay the respect
right, right.
when folks
pass. My grandma
pass,
always told me that. Love me while I'm here.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And your grandma had said that to me before. I didn't even go to her funeral because I don't do funerals. I don't go to some of my family members' funerals personally. But anyway, that's a whole
right.
other topic. Anyway,
right.
let me give you this platform, and I'm going to give you a minute just to say, I want you to shout your father out as if, Imagine you had a chance to talk to the world, right? I'm going to give you a
right.
microphone to the world, to the whole wide world. And you got a chance to tell everybody what your father has meant to you and what your father has done for you and how much you appreciate your father. Do that if you would. I'm going to give you that moment to do that for as long as you like or as short as you like. I just want
All
you
right.
to show your pops some love before the world. Do that for me.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Shouts out to Kendall West Sr., you know what I'm saying? He's been like my rock, you know what I'm saying? Showed me how to be a man. He raised me to be a man, do the right thing, take care of your family, you know what I'm saying? Because basically, a man at home, it's the platform, like you said, whatever. You got to have a strong man in the home, you know what I mean? Because you're the leader, you know what I mean? And I really thank God for having a father to show me that, you know what I'm saying?
Man, Kenny, man, everybody, you know, people call, they call the KRRP radio show, and they, you know, people, sometimes they comment, sometimes they don't. Sometimes there's hundreds of people on here, man, and they won't comment at all. So I commend you, man, for taking the time and saying what you said. I hope your words are a blessing upon somebody. I hope somebody can take your advice. I'm listening
right, me
to
too,
you,
man.
It's an encouragement for me. Because, you know, we
right.
all aren't perfect, and we all strive to do the best, man. I appreciate you, man, and blessings to you. You got any shout-outs for before you go?
Right, yeah, I just want to shout-out, you know what I'm saying, first and foremost, you know what I'm saying, shout-out to you.
Appreciate
Big
that.
Big T, holding it down, doing your thing, you know what I'm saying. Basically, you're one of my role models, bro. Big bro. And then, you know what I'm saying, I just want to shout-out to my family, shout-out to my wife, holding it down when I ain't here. You
wow.
know what I'm saying, basically. Matter of fact, shout-out. Friday was my dad's birthday, you know what I'm saying? He turned 47.
Oh, shout out to Kenny West Senior, baby. Wide awake in the building. The first mixtape store, huh? What's up,
yes,
with that?
Yes, sir, 95. Don't remember that.
Yo, man, make sure you give him my – that's right. It definitely was a trendsetter in Wilson, North Carolina, because so many followed him. Yo, make sure you give him my best, man. One love to you and your family, to your wife, to your daughter, to your sister, everybody, man. One love to you. I'm getting to some more callers. I appreciate you
All
calling.
Right, bro.
What's your favorite radio show, baby?
KRP.
Yeah, that was Kenny West calling from Wilson, North Carolina. We're going to go to another caller right now from the 510 caller. You are on the only 510 caller on the line. You're talking to Pudgy. What's up?
What's good?
What's good? Who's calling?
Hello. I prefer to remain anonymous.
Okay, no problem. I mean, anonymous.
Yeah.
What kind of comments you have for us today?
Well, when I first chimed in, the first thing that I heard was I didn't hear the man's comments, but he reverted it back to weak women being the reasoning for you know, the state of black men, I'm guessing, since that's what we're speaking on. Being a newly single mother of five,
right.
I think I would take it back to, I think he's partially right, and I would take it back to biblical times with the woman, Adam and Eve, you know, the woman being the weaker one.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's just how I feel about the situation.
Wow.
And
so,
I think that the mom and the dad plays equal roles, and a lot of fathers are missing in, you know, our households, and that's pretty much where it fell on, the woman being weak and then also the man not being man enough to stand up and take care of his seeds, and generational curses is just, you know, repeating itself, history repeating itself, basically.
That's really amazing that you said generational curses. Because a lot of people, listen, I guess you have to be spiritual to understand where you're coming from. And I'm very spiritual, and I definitely understand where you're coming from.
I
think that to break these curses, I think that a lot of single parents, men and women, have to learn how to pray more. I think, you know what, I think you got to be, and I've said this before for other reasons, but I think you do have to be unconventional because time is limited. You know, I understand that when by the time you go to sleep, go to work, come home, eat, and take care of what you got going on just in preparing for the next day, that the day is already gone. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have a problem with the I don't know, it's like so many people talk about only the black men are so bad. You know what I mean? So many people talk about the black men are only bad and what we're not doing. Let me ask you.
Now, as an African American female, I'm telling you, like, when I went back to say the female, I believe that it was rooted with us back to biblical days. I really believe that it was rooted with us. And it just carried on. You know, the black man didn't stand up, do what he was supposed to do. I mean, but that's any race, truthfully, any weak man. I mean, I'm going to take it back to it started with a weak woman, but I mean, the men were supposed to be there, stand up, and it's just, I'm guessing, you know, not as many as it is women that's out there trying to stand up and handle theirs. I said newly single. I'm coming out of a 7-year marriage, and sad to be said, but my soon-to-be ex-husband is not taking care of his, but he came from a broken family. He didn't have that father figure. I also didn't have that father figure, and being from my situation, my marriage is only really 2 months, you know, broken up. I actually reconnected with my dad that I didn't have coming up, and he's helping me with my children now. And I can respect and understand, like, what I missed. But I would give it up any day not to have had him, for him to be in my children's life, because they really need that, a stable male role model.
Man,
I know the importance now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. So you say your father is back in your life. How does that make you feel, like, after this time, and now your father, whom may or may not have been there all the time before, is in your life
he
now?
He wasn't. Like, I couldn't even before, like, a month ago, I couldn't even pick my dad out of a lineup. Like, I last seen him when I was 10 years old, and I'm soon to be 30 in, like, 20 days. Yeah. But I know the story. Like, you know, so many times you don't get the whole, you only get one side when you only come up with one parent. And
that's
I know
right.
the whole story, and I can truthfully say it wasn't all his fault.
Wow.
You know, it was made out to me as something that it wasn't. And I'm like, you know, that opportunity was robbed from me, and I know a lot of times it's not the men. You know, sometimes the men, they do the best they can,
right.
but the women take that away from them. They're there with the children. They may, you know, speak badly on the other parent's name or, you know, just – fabricate stuff just because they don't want to seem like they're the bad person in the situation.
Right.
But for I know that to be true now, like as an adult going through a similar situation, and, you know, I would never speak bad on my ex-husband to my children or anything like that. I'm one of the women that say, okay, either, you know, you do or you don't, but the children are going to see regardless because they're going to get older and they're going to know better for themselves. So
right.
I don't have to speak on anything. You know, but I'm just happen to be one of those people. But I know in my situation, that is not what happened. You know, some negative things were spoken on my dad's behalf, and he wasn't there to really stand up for himself. Even though, come to find out, all these years later, he was actually trying to be. He was kept away from us.
Let me ask you a question off a little bit off what's going on, off the topic, just a little. Do you? I heard you say you're recently out of a long term marriage. I think you said 7 years.
7 years. Yes.
And I also heard you say you have 5 children, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Do you feel that you've done everything possible to keep that man in your kid's life and in your life as a family?
Yes. But it has to be a two-way street. Like, I'm still to this day even willing to, you know, make amends. I actually spoke with him last night. It's funny. And we hadn't talked in about 2 weeks. All on him, though. You feel me? I'm trying to get my life in order, go to work, pretty much eat, sleep, go to work. That's all I'm doing, just trying to get, because
right.
It's a life-changing event. So I'm trying to make sure that me and the children are good, because if I don't do it, who's going to do it?
Literally,
that's where I'm at with the situation. But, you know, I extended the offer, like, you know, counseling, whatever need be, you know, whatever we could do to try to preserve the family, because I believe in that. You know, foremost, we made these vows. We took them before God. I believe it's really supposed to be till death do you part. But it has to be a two-way street. You know, you can't just be in it by yourself. But then I would say that he's one of the weaker, you know, men of our generation. So I can't really fault him for that because he doesn't know any better.
Wow. You know what? Normally, that would be an arguing point for me. Like, when you say a man don't know no better, I gotta stand up for the man. Hold up for a minute.
Yeah.
What you mean he don't know no better? You call him weaker, you know? But you know what? I'm glad you laughed, man, because I commend you, first of all. I commend you to the highest commendability. Let me invent a word like Jesse Jackson. Let me invent a word real quick. But, I mean, on a serious tip, it sounds like you're real passionate. It sounds like you're doing what you got to do to take care of yours. And I wish you the best. I hope that you can connect with him and your marriage will, you know, maybe you guys can get some counseling, because personally, I think that black folks don't seek out counseling the way we probably should. I think we talk to friends, we talk to family, and we get ideas. But I think we don't seek out professional counseling the way that we should. And I encourage that, man, because today's, you know, times are different, man. It's not what it used to be. We're not our grandmothers. We're not our great-grandmothers and grandfathers. Times are different, man, you know, and there's so much out here that's against the traditional family. You know what I mean? And a lot of people see this stuff and it looks shiny out there, and they go that route, and then they lose what they had, and then they want it back. So all I can say is to keep your head up, man, and keep going, keep taking care of your babies. And, you know, maybe he'll come around. I'm not saying wait for him. Yeah, there might be another king or prince out there for you. I'm not even going to get into all of that because this ain't a dating show.
Okay, that's a whole other show.
Yeah. We might actually
but
do
no,
that
I
show.
But no, I totally understand, and I'm so pro, you know, therapy, professional therapy, you know, getting it in. You know, there's people who have degrees and went to school for this type of stuff, you know, for a reason. So I'm all for that, and it was offered, but it has to be a two-way street. You know, when a person doesn't know any better and they're not willing to do better, then you kind of have to draw the line and it's like, okay, but I know better, so I have to do better for me and my children to make sure that we're good. So that's pretty much where I am with it, and it's all on God. Like, it's been given to him, so it is what it is.
Well, one last question before I let you go, and I definitely heard what you just said, but do you think that, And just a quick answer, because I don't want to have to respond. I don't want to respond because I'm going to make it longer.
No problem.
Do you think that the majority of black fathers are bad fathers?
I don't know, truthfully. I really don't know.
I respect
that, man.
I
think it's a possibility. Yes.
I definitely respect that. It is what it is. I mean, you're speaking through firsthand experiences. You got any shout-outs before you go?
Just want to shout-out my dad.
No doubt. Shout-out to
pops. Leave him anonymous, but shout-out to my pops, shout-out to my grandmother, my children, my babies, first and foremost, and God, the man upstairs. You know, without him, I don't feel like nothing is possible. So, yeah, that's
that.
It.
That's B.I.G., man. You B.I.G. in my book. Thanks for calling. I appreciate your call. And you know what? Every Sunday at 8 o'clock, man, tell somebody about the show. Make sure you call in, you know, and come back through. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
All right, I appreciate it. 619-638-8559 is the number. www.krpradioshow is the web address. Hit us up, man. We're talking about bad black fathers, or fathers in general. We started out on the bad black fathers thing, and I think it still needs to be addressed, because the media is killing us. Like, the media tear us down. Man, they tear us down, and they talk about how bad we are, this, that, and the third. I'm going to go to a call from the 336 real quick, man, and then I'm going to come back with the SoundChew.com weather report. Call up in the 336. Your last two is 69.
Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, my name's Coleman Tate. I'm from Boone. I'm actually calling in from an online post I saw from my boy Kevin Daniels. I think he's here helping y'all tape today.
He is. He's in the studio right now.
Coleman, what up?
What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, nothing, man. How you?
I'm doing well. I wanted to give a little input from the outside. I'm not black. I'm not a black father, but I wanted to give some input.
Doesn't matter. Give it to us, Coleman. We need it, brother.
Here's the way that it, you know, I'm at Appalachian State University, and obviously social issues are things that we focus on. That's
absolutely,
you know, those are the problems that need to be faced. I think, first of all, with any statistic, we're talking about 73% of you know, black people come from broken homes. To assume that of 100 black friends I have, that 73% of them come to broken homes, I don't know. We need to first address that statistics are always small samples. So
sure,
that's one thing I want to get out there. But another thing is, I think the problem that, you know, with this topic in the black community is not so much specifically parenting, but the history of our nation. You know, as a, you know, I'm white, I'm of European descent. When my family came over, you know, likely came over with values from our country, the same way as if you have a Hispanic guy, he's from Mexico or El Salvador. He has strong roots in what a family's supposed to be like. Because
sure,
of our unfortunate past, you know, there are only a small percentage of African Americans that actually have traceable, you know, history, that they know they're from Uganda, they know they're from wherever. And
heritage,
because of that, I think in a lot of aspects that the black community faces, you know, different things. I grew up at a school that was majority black. Most of my friends were black. And when it came to being friends, there's no difference in what color we are. But when it comes to education, when it comes to the way that they look at their girlfriends or, you know, their baby mama, anything like that, it was different. And it was apparent. And I think the problem is that the black community is working at a different rate. The black community had a more difficult road in this country.
That's
and
a fact.
I think that, I don't think anyone can say that that's not improving at an incredible rate. But I think sometimes whenever the media, whatever it is, when they talk about, you know, any statistic involving the black community, I think it's taken out of context. I think people need to understand that, you know, that's one of the main reasons is what we've come from in this nation. And I don't think it is a fair argument to say that black fathers are worse than white fathers. I can tell you for a fact that if you're white and you leave your child's mother, you're looked at the same as a black man is. They're the same as an Asian man is. In any, it does not matter what color you are. Now, you may argue that there are higher rates, and there may be statistics to back that up. But another problem that you face with that is a lot of these problems have to do with economics, have to do with money. And statistically, minorities live in the urban areas. They struggle financially. You're going to have, I mean, even though there are far more important things in life, it's really, I think the people, money doesn't buy happiness, but I believe it buys comfort. And if you have that comfort in your life, if you have, you know, you don't have to worry about where you're going to get your next meal.
Wow.
You know, it's much easier to be a good father. It's much easier to be a good anything. But I think it's very unfair to say that black fathers are worse, even though there may be more broken black homes than any of the other major groups.
Uh-huh.
Understanding the reasoning behind it is much more important than just looking at the statistic. You can look at a statistic about anything and draw your own conclusion. But if you do not have a historical context, I think we're off base. And I would dare say that if you were to ask your father or your grandfather, what the situation in the black community was like when they were alive, they would never believe it would be as good as it is today. I remember seeing a story where there was a black woman who was, oh, she was old. She was born in the, like, 1905 or something. Mm. And what it would be like to be black in 1905. But things have changed so much in her life that she got to go vote on an automated voting booth and elect a black president into office in this country.
That's special for her.
That is something. I'm 21 years old, and I can't understand that. I've never been oppressed. I cannot understand that. Likely, you can't understand that. But
that's right.
She can understand. And she, I bet if you asked her, you know, what's the problem with all the black fathers? She'd probably say, it ain't a problem, it ain't as big a problem as it used to be. And I think we have to, things are not in any situation, whether it be the importance of people putting God first in their life or putting what in their life, when it, economics, social problems, nothing is where we want it to be. But we need to not only try to make things better, but appreciate progress that has been made. And that is one of the things we do a terrible job of in this country. Americans are the first people to find a problem because we're always used to being the best at everything. And if there's one little problem, we're going to point out, oh, black man, oh, it's the rich white man. There's always a problem with somebody. But we need to, I think, sometimes appreciate the way things are because they are a lot better. And I'm sure things are a lot better now than they were when you were young or when I was younger.
You know what? Let me ask you another question before I even comment. What do you think about the president actually taking his standpoint the way he did? What do you think about that? I don't know if you heard it or not, but, you know, when he was running, when he was campaigning, he said that, let me talk to the black community for a minute. He said that black men needed to take care of their babies and be more responsible because they're not doing it. What do you think about that?
Well, to me, you know, whenever you're talking about campaigning, that's a much different situation. I'm personally, I have a lot of friends who are in, who are not white, and I think sometimes minority groups tend to group themselves together a lot more than white folks. You know what I'm saying? There are white folks who do that, but I do not have an allegiance to my ethnicity, where I know a lot of black people who do. And I think that that was more of a way of Obama, you know, Obama, you know, he went to Harvard. He's lived a very, by what society calls, a white life. You understand what I'm saying? He wasn't in that, you know, if you ever look at pictures of Barack Obama when he was a kid, it's like he had no black friends. You know what I'm saying? And so I think that was a way of Obama trying to get into the black community to let him know that he's there for them. And I think he is, definitely. But, I mean, I'm not personally a big Obama fan, but I think that was more of a letting the black community know that he was understanding of the issues. The same way when he was in Texas and Arizona, he was sure to let the Hispanics know that he's going to make immigration reform. You know, I think that was more of that than him actually, just because anytime a politician says anything, we understand that it's more for campaigning than it is for how they really feel.
But you know what? Okay, Coleman, here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Like you said about that older lady, the older black lady that had a chance to vote for a black president, here's what people don't understand about I'm just talking about that part of it. This was more than just an ordinary candidate. This was more than just an ordinary presidency, and this was more than just a speech. Now, when somebody with Barack Obama's credibility when it comes to being a black politician and running for the presidency, that's something monumental and historic. So when they take a position to start saying that you aren't something and what you should do and what you need to do, to me that tells the rest of the world that he knows something about what he's talking about.
Right, and I'm not arguing with you that there is a bigger proportion of broken homes in the black community. I'm not arguing that for a second, because statistically that is an accepted idea. But what I am arguing is that that is not a statement you can just throw around, because there are factors, you know, the same reason that you may have more broken homes in the black community is the same reason you have less black students going to universities, the same reason in any aspect of life that the black community does. You know what I'm saying? It's not that they're bad fathers. It's not an aspect that's – it's not just one thing about black people that they're bad fathers. That's it. That's incorrect. I'm not going to stand for that for 1 second. I believe it comes from history. It comes from economics. The same way that I do not come from a broken home. Mm-hmm. So if I have problems with my wife one day, I am much more likely to do my best to work it out than I am to get a divorce or not marry her. But if I came from a broken home, then I'm much more likely to not feel pressured to work that hard. I'm much more likely to think it's okay. It's all from history. It's not black people do not have a special gene in their brain that tells them to be bad fathers. That's ridiculous.
I agree with you, but it seems like the media paints a different picture. I definitely agree with what you're saying, but it's like all the because of something that the president said before, and it goes back far beyond when he was a candidate. It goes back way, you know, later years than that. But because of something he said, it made the rest of America say, you know what, they do have a problem. And I'm not saying we don't have a problem. I'm just merely saying that he could have took a different position in saying that, hey, I understand where you're going from. I identify the problem, and here's what we need to do to correct it instead of a lecture. To me, he solidified something that was partially untrue before the world.
Yeah, and that's true. And if me and you lived our life by what Barack Obama says, then we'd be different people. If I listened to everything the president said and took it as fact and took it for that, then I mean I'm not going to do that. And I think you
have common sense. A lot of folks don't have common sense.
A lot of folks don't have common sense, and I think it's very important. Kevin Daniels. I don't know how well you know Kevin Daniels, but that is a very smart guy.
Sure.
He thinks he's smarter than he is. I'll tell you that right now. He's not as smart as he thinks he is, but still, he's still pretty smart. And he sees what's going on in the communities. And there are a lot of people, regardless of color, who will turn on their CNN, will turn on their local news, will turn on their Fox News, and they'll say, well, that's how it is. And that is ridiculous. You know a lot of black people. You know a lot of white people. You know a lot of people of every color. You know what's going on in these communities. We don't need Barack Obama. We don't need Hillary Clinton. Anyone telling us how it's going in these communities. And the problem is that from the media, I've listened to a couple of the callers who've called in, and obviously they have life situations that are relevant to the situation. But also because that's what your show is about, it's more likely that people from broken homes are calling in. The people who call into your show do not necessarily represent the black community.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, this show is to talk about the alternative. I asked the question, are all black fathers bad, knowing that they're not? Hell, I'm a black father myself, and I know damn well I'm not bad. I know I do everything I have to do to take care of my kids, and we live well beyond our means. You know what I mean? We live well beyond the poverty level, I mean. So I understand that there are a difference, but I don't have a national platform the way that Barack Obama does. Hell, I reach maybe 150,000 people, but that man reaches millions and beyond that, billions even, because people around the world hear this. So that's why I asked this question, so hoping that people will come on here and say, no, but God knows all black fathers aren't bad. My father was this. My father was that. Thank God for my father, this, that, and the third. That's the reason I asked this question. Now, it happens that some of the people that call here has a difference of opinion.
But that's because they had a bad experience. They could have been with a white man, could be with anybody. You can't, I mean, that's ridiculous. And I don't know a lot about this show, but what I hope is happening with this show, and it's something I've seen Kevin Daniels do, is wake up the black community. Because I do believe that, and I can imagine if I was from an oppressed minority historically, that I would be the same. But I think a lot of people in this country, black or not, voted in Barack Obama because, you know, it's a step in our nation for electing a minority president. Do you agree?
Hey, man, I think it's a step. No, you know what? I agree that it was good for him running and the promises that he made and the stances that he took on were great. I think they were great, but I also think that the Republicans didn't have a strong enough candidate to oversight Barack Obama's promises.
You're right.
I can't tell you
you're right,
he hasn't done a damn thing for this community. He hasn't done a damn thing for this country. Furthermore, he spent a whole lot of money that we do not have. We're fighting. We're in the middle of a war that's not ours. We're spending billions of dollars. And frankly, they just disrespected our government by pulling a political hoopla talking about shutting down the government when he should have turned in the budget back in October of last year. People would not research that. All they would tell you is that the Republican Party isn't doing this, the Democratic Party is for the people, and it's vice versa. Everything that Barack Obama is and everything that he's accomplished and everything that he was are Republican principles. Republicans don't believe in socialized welfare and giving a whole lot of money to nobody for things that they don't deserve. Republicans believe in God. They do not believe in a two-woman and two-man marriage, and those are the things that Republicans stand for. Barack Obama is a Democrat, and he accomplished the things that he accomplished off Republican principles, but the difference is the Republicans are too scared to come out of the closet and talk about the things that they believe in. They're too scared.
If
I was the speaker, if I was Boehner, I would be saying that, you know what, the man Barack Obama is, that black man, that proud black father, is what we represent. He is exactly what we represent, individualism and capitalism. There is not a damn thing wrong with being rich. You should be able to get yours if you can get yours. If you need a handout, you get it for a little while, and you don't deserve it for a generation.
You're right. But what I was saying is the reason he got elected. I'm saying that's the reason that people voted for him was because, oh, we're making a big step. But the problem is I think there is too much in the black community, blind support for Obama. It's blind support.
You're exactly
right. In the same way that I shouldn't like a president just because he's white, the black community should not like a president because he's black. And I've seen Kevin Daniels is the best example I know of someone who said no. Wait a minute.
Right.
And that's what needs to happen. That what needs to happen in politics. That's what needs to happen in social issues in the black community. Eventually.
Right. That's right.
Hopefully in 50 years, we won't be saying the black community.
I know that's
eventually
right.
Eventually we don't need a black community. I will never say white community. I'm using this for the sake of your show. I do not ever ask my friends, what's it like in the black community? Of course I'm not going to do that. That's ridiculous. We don't need community. But the reason we have that is because the media and society has clumped issues into color.
But you know what, Cole? You know what, brother? Let me cut you off for a second. You know what? See, I think part of that is the problem. People won't call a spade a spade. People are scared to say black. They're scared to say white because they're scared they might offend some damn body. It's not about offending anybody. Listen, I'm a black man, okay?
Right.
If you see me across the room and there's a bunch of black men across the room, you probably got to say, I'm talking about that black guy right there, and then describe what I have on or what I look like, et cetera. If you see a bunch of 6'3" black men standing in the room, you need to explain, hey, it's that guy right there, the black dude, you know, blah, 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 blah. People are scared to call it what it is.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I'm off topic, but let me just say this real quick, and I got to go to another caller, Coleman. There are black communities. There are white communities. There are poor communities. There are rich communities, and that's just the way it is. We got to accept that, embrace it, and keep going, but don't dwell on it. You know what I mean? We don't have to dwell on it. Hey, man, I appreciate you calling it. And one thing I wanted to point out, what you said, what I thought was very important. One day, we won't have to use this terminology. One day, we will not.
Other than describing who we are, that's the only time I should say black or you should say white. That white guy across the room, that's fine.
Hey, man, every Sunday, 8 p.m., I appreciate you calling, and I definitely value your opinion, man. You B.I.G. in my book. I got to go to another caller, man. Make sure you hit us up next Sunday, same time, same place. You got it?
All right. Have a good one. Tell Kevin to behave himself.
I'll do that. Thanks. Going to the 914. Right. Caller, you are on the line, keeping it real with Pudgy. 914, what's up?
What's going on? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Can you hear me? This is Samantha. How y'all doing?
I can hear you great. How are you?
You can hear me great. I'm wonderful. I'm calling to give a shout out to my brother, of course, Kevin.
No doubt.
I don't know what part of the conversation we're on, but I'm responding to the gentleman who said that black women are the reason why black men are not taking care of their children.
Uh oh.
So can I still respond to that?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
go
no,
right
I'm
ahead.
Not gonna go, I'm not going to get all radical. I'm just going to say what I'm going to say. I definitely do not agree. But as I stated on my brother's post, there's always two sides to a story, and I do happen to know some strong black men who are taking care of their children or who have tried to take care of their children. But because they get involved with women who fall in love with them and they may move on to other relationships, the females have used the children as pawns or as weapons to try to keep the guy around. So it pushes the guy further away. Does it excuse him from taking care of his responsibilities? Absolutely not. But it does play a factor in the man, as I have seen in some guys that I know, not wanting to be involved because it makes it that much harder on the child to see them mm-hmm. constantly battling and fighting and fighting and fighting all the time.
Right.
So I don't agree, but on the flip side of it, because we all need to look at both sides of a story, there's also that aspect of it.
Sure.
Too, that may hinder some men from taking care of their children. So that's all I was
going to
say.
Hey, Nikki, your baby brother, he taking care of his son.
Oh, I know. I already know that.
You know what?
I already know that because I'll have to come down there and whoop you.
All right. So you know what? It's funny. You know, it's funny you said that. But that's what we need a lot more of, holding people accountable, I think. Like, if we had more folks holding folks accountable for what they do, I don't believe that we would be faced with a lot of things that we're faced with in this nation, including the topic of a black man taking care of the child or any other race for that matter.
Anybody, absolutely. But like my brother always says, people are scared of the truth. If you can't handle the truth, don't ask questions you don't want to know the answer to. And anybody that's genuinely concerned about you is going to tell you the truth whether you want to hear it or not. It's called tough love. It's going to be in your best interest. It's up to you to take it and, you know, take it and deal with it, or leave it and suffer the consequences of it.
Wow. Would you have any advice for, like, you know, because I heard you describe that situation, and we do see that a lot. We see situations mm-hmm. where maybe the breakup was bad, and maybe the mom and the father mm-hmm. don't get along, and, you know, there's situations where the father's like, you know what, I'd rather just pay my child support and stay away because she's crazy or whatever. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't. It's situations are all over the board. But what kind of advice would you have for some of the females out here that are going through a situation like that, or maybe some of the brothers who are going through something like that? Would you have any encouragement for them?
At the end of the day, I mean, I'm not a parent, but I'm still going to speak as someone who has raised people and who has seen, you know, both sides, the female and the guys, go through situations like that. At the end of the day, it's not about the adults and what they want and their selfish reasons for wanting to stay together or their selfish reasons for not wanting to allow the other one to do what they need to do as a parent. It's about the child. And and me working with the juvenile justice system and mm-hmm. seeing how these kids grow up because of the drugs, because of parents not getting along for just whatever reason, the long-term effect of it is going to be far worse than two people either just breaking up or saying, you know what, let's just do this, let's be adults because it's for the sake of the child. How do you want your child to grow up? That's it. You know, you have to look long term, not just at the temporary fix of whatever it is. That child did not ask to come here. Whatever reason
right.
the Lord decided to bless y'all with this kid, take that gift and do what you need to do with it. And I can speak from my own experience of just living in it.
Right.
Of parents doing whatever. You find out, of course, you find out stuff when you get older.
Sure.
But it does affect children when their parents are going back and forth for whatever reason and you're just stuck in the middle of it, like, okay. Because in long term, it also affects your relationships as well. So, you know, I can get into the whole deep psychology part of it, but that it just gets deeper than that. So think about the kids first. You did what you did to make them. They're here now. Do what you need to do for the child. As adults, we need to be able to handle things as adults and either walk away from the situation or handle it the right way.
Wow. I definitely hear you on that. All right. So you got any shout-outs before you go? You left me speechless for a minute there.
No, I just, look, this is good luck. I'm going to have to start calling in on Sundays. I didn't know all this was going on. I've been so busy with school, I didn't know.
That's what it is.
But
every
Sunday. I mean, you know what I mean? Keep doing what y'all doing. It's, you know, it's a blessing. And it's nice to always see brothers doing something positive.
Well, we're trying to kill the negativity if we can. Kill the negativity with a butter knife so it'll hurt. I appreciate you calling, man. You B.I.G. in my book. I'm going to go to another caller. Take care. So, 619-638-8559. I see we're looking at about 400 callers.
hit the ones, man. I'll get y'all on as soon as I can. I'm going directly to another caller. If you're on the phone, hit up the website, www.krrpradioshow.com. You can also hit us up on Facebook. That's facebook.com/KRRP Radio Show. We'll talk about the discussion after the show. We'll respond to some of your comments. We'll keep the dialogue going. I mean, it's not going to stop. The problem's not going to stop here. We got to keep going. We got to do what we got to do. You know what I'm saying? I know tomorrow we got to get ready to go to work. So everybody who, you know, you're putting your clothes on, you're ironing your clothes, just minimize the, you know, log on to KRRPradioshow.com. Let it play, minimize it, and just listen to the show while you're on your work clothes. You know what I mean? Shout out to everybody on Twitter. I see the Twitter's buzzing. @KRRP Radio Show. I got somebody from the 215. I'm coming, baby. Y'all hold on 1 minute. I'm coming back to you. But first, I have to do a weather report. And I'm going to do it live. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? I can't hear nobody, man. I said that y'all ready. I don't think nobody's ready. Here we go for the weather report. This weather report is brought to you by SoundChew.com. SoundChew.com is the most prolific, the American idol of the internet. Sponsoring this weather report. Los Angeles, our affiliates over there, WMMG LA, sunny 62 today, cloudy 49 tonight. It's also going to be cloudy tomorrow at 69 degrees in sunny LA. Tomorrow night, 51 chance of rain, 20%. DC, WMMG affiliates over there, AM radio, 1500 on your radio dial. 57 degrees today. DC was looking kind of lovely out there. Tonight, cloudy, 55 degrees. Tomorrow, it's going to be 88 degrees and sunny. If you're in DC, it's time to bring out the grill. That's barbecue, baby. 58 degrees to tomorrow night with a chance of thunderstorms. Greensboro, North Carolina, Carolina, raise your shirts, or whatever for you, Pablo, man. Shout out to Peter. 64 degrees today, and it was clear, and it was beautiful out there, man. I mean, it was lovely. 64 degrees today. Tonight, 60 degrees, clear sky. No rain, no precipitation, no nothing. You can leave the windows down overnight. Tonight, don't leave the windows down. Somebody might break your car. 60 degrees tonight, tomorrow. Get the grills ready. 88 degrees tomorrow. It's going to be clear, and it's going to be beautiful. We can barbecue tomorrow in Greensboro, North Carolina, baby. Tomorrow night, 50 degrees, thunderstorm. If you break the grill out, you better get rid of it early. It's going to rain on your head tomorrow night. 50 degrees. It's going to be good until we get to eat with the 40% chance of thunderstorm. If you rain tomorrow, stick our beat. You know it's true. This one of the reporters, SoundChew.com, the new innovative website where you can go on there. A nice on the MIC. Maybe you can sing, maybe you can rap, maybe you can do country, country songs. So, SoundChew is doing that thing, man. So, log on to SoundChew.com, submit your music. They're going to vote on your music. They got all kinds of tips that are going to get away from all sorts of sites. Beautiful thing, man. Yeah, so, you know, we've been talking about are all black fathers bad on the show, and we had some different commentary tonight. 619-638-8559, hit us up if you want to talk to us on the phone. Don't forget to hit those ones. I got one thing to bring up, folks, while you all listening to the show. I got something I want y'all to do. I want you to go to your Facebook pages. And first, I want you to look up facebook.com/KRRP Radio Show. Make sure you like that. Put whatever comment you didn't get a chance to talk about on the show, make sure you write your comment in. Or just give us a shout-out. Shout out somebody, your family or something. What we do, we come back the following week, and we shout out your people that you put on the site. You know, anybody, shout out your business. Do whatever you got to do, man, you know. Shout out somebody. Also, here's something that's very dear to me. I started a Facebook page called I Love Being a Black Father. Now, I know that there are other fathers out there who are proud to be whatever they are as a father, but I felt that there was a need for a specific page saying, I love being a black father, because I think that because of maybe something the president said, because of something that the media does, or the huge influx of you of us hearing that, because I'm not deaf, man. We hear all the time that black fathers aren't doing the do. They aren't doing what they need to do. I can't go for that. You know, I'm a black father. I'm sitting in front of a black father. I got a black father on the line. My father's a recovering. My stepfather, Benjamin Lancaster, a recovering drug addict. Let me change that. A recovered drug addict. Recovered. Fully recovered. I'm talking about 20 years ago, this man was walking the streets chasing down crack cocaine. And I'll tell you what he told me. He said, for a man to change, first of all, you have to give it all up to the man upstairs. He said, and second of all, you got to want the change. And I'm proud to say that he's been clean for at least, I'll say 20 years. I know it's 20 plus years, but he's been clean for 20 plus years, doing good, taking care of himself, not on welfare, doing his thing. And, you know, it's not a knock to people who are on welfare, but I say not on welfare because to me, that says something about your individuality, especially while you have been a drug addict. So shout out my pops, man. Love you. Appreciate you holding us down. Appreciate you doing your thing. And it's you B.I.G. in my book. You already know. Time to go to a playoff game, Pac. I'll be hitting you up about that. So you're going to have to get on the plane whether you like it or not. It is what it is. But anyway, there's a page called I Love Being a Black Father. I want you guys to log on there. Shout out your pops. Shout out your fathers and, you know, your husbands and people that's been influential in your life. You know, all the positive fathers out there. I'm going to read off a couple of stats just for a second, and then we're going to go to my caller who's been patiently waiting from the 215. I really appreciate it. You're first on the queue, and I'll try my best to get everybody else in. We got 38 minutes remaining in the show. Here's the stats for what they're worth. 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. Total. 90% of runaways come from fatherless homes. 71% dropouts come from fatherless homes. I'm not talking about the black community, folks. 63% of youth suicides come from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from fatherless homes. 85% of youths in prison. 85% of youths in prison. 85%, folks. That's a big number. Like the runaways, 90%. But 85% of the youths in prison come from a fatherless home. You are 10 times more likely to use drugs if you're from a fatherless home. And the last thing I'm going to put out there, because I hope some of this stuff stick in your mind, but 72% of black babies born to unwed mothers, 72% of black babies are born to unwed mothers. Now, a lot of people think that stats are frivolous. You know, a lot of people don't think the stats are truthful. A lot of these stats come from black organizations themselves, folks. That's why they exist. Personally, I think that there's a need. I think that there's a huge need for families to remain families. I think there's a huge need for a mother and a father in a household, in any race, in any community, in any household. I think that there's a huge need for fathers in a household, especially when raising boys, you know what, when raising boys and girls, because the boys, they need a role model. They need an image. They need to see every single day what they can use and what they can measure a man by. And a girl needs to know what real love is before she experiences false love. And I think a father can give her, you know, that love from a male aspect so she won't look for elsewhere. You know, once upon a time, I didn't believe that that made a difference. You know, when I was ignorant, I'll say ignorant in the world, I didn't believe that a father being in the household with a female made a difference. I don't know how I came to that assumption. I don't know why I didn't think it was necessary, but, man, I have a daughter, and, oh, my God, it is so necessary. Let me tell you, it is so necessary. You just don't know. Let me go to my caller from the 21 Fizzle, 215 caller. You have been waiting so patiently. I appreciate you on the air. You're live with Pudgy. Who is this?
Hi, Pudgy. How you doing? My name is Sindhu.
How are you, sir?
I've been listening to a lot of this stuff here. I had a comment, and then I mean, so many things were said after that wow. The gentleman that was speaking earlier also, it was a white guy, I believe.
Yeah.
And I wish that most white people would think like that.
Oh yeah,
you know who can see things for what they really are, and not see what the media wants to portray. Not just blacks, but Latinos as well. I'm Latino, and you know he said it very clear. And I've always said it, and I've always pushed that. You know, it's not in the gene, but when people start listening to this constantly on the media, black folks this and Latinos this and this and that, they begin to believe that there is something wrong with the race itself, and it's not.
It's not.
You know, if they, like the gentleman said, it was economic, it's poverty, you name it, it's there. And sometimes we have the priorities wrong. And then you mentioned about your dad, was it, once on drugs?
Yeah, my stepdad, yeah.
Well, I myself am a recovering addict. And I'm 58 years old today, but I was raised in the streets of Harlem, the South Bronx. And I had a father at home. I had a good father. He died at the age of 101 years old. So I had him around for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
But I was using drugs in the streets, gang banging, you name it, in the streets of New York. But I finally came to a realization, and all the teachings that my dad had given me, I was able to put them into practice and raise my children and change and raise my children. And now I have beautiful grandchildren. And there were times in the marriage that I just wanted to say, man, I'm out of here.
Amen.
But I didn't. I stood
right
there. And 30 years I've been married, and 30 years I'm with my same wife, and
wow,
I have beautiful grandchildren. So you got to hang on to it, you know. We cannot let that negativity get to us. And this is what happens. A lot of us allow that negativity to get to us, and we begin to believe these kind of things.
That's
you know, I speak to kids every day, as a recovering addict and as an author. I speak to kids, and I see a lot of fatherless kids. And you can almost tell them apart, brother. You can tell them apart.
Yeah, oh,
because
yeah.
Once you look, they look for you, they hear you, they follow you, I mean, the whole nine yards, and you know who he is. And you start speaking to them. I mentor a couple of kids. I mentor a kid in Oklahoma, and I mentor a kid in Alabama, here, all the way from here from Philly, because these kids have no dad. So, you know, it's a hard way to do that, but I do what I can. I put the kids in the YMCA. I got one into a boxing club and stuff like that. So I went beyond raising my children and now trying to help other kids who don't have that opportunity, because I've been there and I've done that.
Sure.
And that's what we should be thinking of. You know, I mean, I live in Philadelphia, and as you know, they call it Killadelphia because brothers are killing themselves anger and all for them of the dumbest reasons in the world. Everything is pull out a gun and just shoot me. You know, 360 plus murders a year ago. You know, it's crazy. And these young bloods have their priorities wrong, you know. And the media forced them into that. Society forces them into that. Poverty forces them into that. But then again, it always comes down to the same thing. You have a choice. You really have that final choice if you want to go that way or not. I choose to become a drug addict. I choose. I choose a gangbang. But I also choose to change. You know,
wow.
And that's why I go out when I speak to kids. So you see these young bloods today as young as 12, 13 years old carrying guns and doing all this wild stuff. And then the mentality today of these young kids, that sometimes you look at them and say, damn, what kind of father he going to be?
Yeah.
You know,
there was
an incident where I have a shop, a retail shop, and there was a little Indian girl who slipped. Well, actually, she went into a seizure, and she fell on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw some across the street, so I ran right away to give the girl some aid. There was three young black males standing there, pointing at her and laughing.
Wow.
And I said, yo, man, why didn't you just help her out? He said, nah, man, I ain't my good. And they started laughing because it ain't cool. You know what I mean? It ain't cool to help that girl out because they look stupid if they do that. And this is what I'm saying, we got our priorities wrong. These kids probably felt bad about that afterwards, but the mentality that they have to, that we have to change their entire mentality. You know, they said that it took a village to raise a child.
That's right.
Yeah. Right now, there is no village. The village has been destroyed. We have to rebuild the village, you know. The whole village has to be rebuilt because right now, the village, the neighbor, we can't even trust anymore like we used to. Because when I was a kid, they used to tell my mom, you know, hey, he did this, he did that. My neighbor used to grab me through the ear and take me to my mom. My mom used to whip the shit out of me. They went to my daddy get home, pull out that bed and whip me too. But today, you can't even trust the neighbor to do that, you know, because the village is destroyed. And that's what we have to really bring back. Rebuild that village. And you know what we're going to do is by changing the mentality of these kids. And, you know, and for these men out there, man, I mean, you make that child, you got to have, be, you know, it doesn't take a man to make a kid. Anybody can make a kid.
That's right. A boy can make a kid.
Be there for them. And just to be at home, dad, you know, in the sofa drinking a beer doesn't mean you're dad. I mean, you have to really father that kid. You have to work with him with the homework and everything else. But today, these guys just want to hang out. They want to party. They want to wear the bling. They want to get the rims. And that's more important to them than family, you know? And the cycle is ugly. I mean, you just mentioned some ugly statistics. 78% of black youth in Philadelphia cannot join the service or get a government job because of criminal records. Now, that is a shame. You mentioned about suicide, but suicide is the largest killer of kids from 14 to 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something is wrong with our kids. We're giving a bad message if they don't even want to stick around with us, you know. So it's a very complicated issue, you know.
It is.
That we can't just say, well, it's this and it's that, you know. And the lady mentioned that, you know, it's not the woman's fault. Of course it's not. And it's not the man's fault. Of course not. It's a combination of a lot of things, you know. We have to reexamine each ourselves individually to see what part can we do to change instead of trying to change the whole world. When we start changing individually and start saying, hey, you know, I'm wrong with this, I'm wrong with that, and pass that on to, you know, to your brother, and this is where we're going to start to change because it is so far gone, brother, so far gone, that if we don't do nothing now, we are going to lose an entire generation.
Jesus.
Now, it's ugly. It's ugly.
One person at a time, you know, one person at a time can make a huge difference. We can't change the world overnight. But I just want folks to identify with the fact that something needs to be done because on one hand you have, you know, I'm not against the president, okay? I'm not even gonna get back on that boat. I thought that him and a host of other actors too. Don't get it twisted. It's not only him, but I thought he had the perfect opportunity to tie some things together to make folks encouraged be encouraged. Here I am, let me be your role model, and here's how to do it. Instead, he went the alternative route, and I don't appreciate it being a black father myself or a minority father, whatever you want to call it. I just thought that it was the perfect platform to do something different, and to me, he solidified something in the hearts and the minds of folks that didn't even realize what was going on. So now it's like the whole world look at the black race and go, you know what, they don't have any fathers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. Can we get some help? You know, can we get some help out here? Can folks start being more responsible? Hey, man, I don't know. You got any shout-outs before you go? I got a couple more callers to get on and a small time to get on.
No, brother, that's all. I just wanted to share that. It's a great show, though. It's a great show. Oh, well, can I mention my books?
Absolutely. Mention your book, brother.
Yeah, the book is the title, You Only Live Twice. It's written by Gumar Sundarvidow. It's a story of my life and what I do. I go to schools, prisons. I speak to young men and women about the dangers of drugs, gangs, and stuff. You can find that at Amazon, and at yokebooks.com. Thanks a lot, brother. It's a great show. I'll definitely be back.
Hey, 8 o'clock every Sunday. Make sure you hit us up, 619-638-8559. We're going to another caller out of the 704. Caller, you on the line. You got all tools at the end. What up?
What's up? This is Larry.
Larry, how you doing, brother?
Larry Shannon, how you doing out of Charlotte, man? How you feeling?
Hey, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good, brother. Feeling
great.
Good.
Great. Listen to your show, man. But the bottom line, we have to realize, I heard the gentleman before say about mindset. It's all about mindset because we've been conditioned this from society. If we go all the way back to the welfare days, we remember if mother had children and the man was in the house, she could no longer get public assistance. So it's the mindset. Then single mothers can't raise male childs because they don't understand that they don't understand the whole philosophy of how a man thinks. A lot of them raising male childs are hurt because they've dealt with certain things in their relationship. But it really goes back to God and family.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to learn to begin to trust in God.
Yes,
and begin
sir.
To bring other people in our children's lives if we're in that situation.
Come
whether
on, Larry.
Be...
Keep going, brother.
Huh?
Keep going. Keep going. Come on.
Yeah.
You got
whether it be, whatever the circumstances may be, we have to learn to bring God in the center of our homes. We have to begin to get to take control of our homes and our community. And that's in the thinking. You know, a lot of times you have to encourage yourself on a lot of things, you know, and when the man that was talking about a village, you know, the thing about our churches, our
uh-huh.
communities,
uh-huh.
and everybody plays a part in what we're doing because what we've gotten away from really trusting God. We talk about faith, but we really don't have faith in God because
Woo!
Faith is a thing where you have to have combat. You
yes,
have to
sir.
Know how to resist and turn
mm-hmm.
away from a lot of things that are happening in the community. That
mm-hmm.
means you have to take control of your family. You have to take control of your kids. You have to take control of yourself and learn to be responsible for what you have to do in the name of Jesus.
Okay.
And it becomes that simple to me.
Yes, sir. Woo!
And I'm through talking about it. Bless you, man.
It's Sunday, brother. It's Sunday. I'll let you get your evening service on. I wish I had an organ
no,
in here. I'm
no,
the
I
music
preach,
on, baby.
Man, I preach this. I do some consulting work to families. And I teach that 7 days a week, wherever I got to be. You
yes,
know,
sir.
I teach that on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm
I
telling people, man, you can't deal with the past.
That's right.
You know, all that stuff you've gone through in the past, excuses. Your blessing is in your future and your children's future. So, you know, so you got to stop dealing with the past and all that stuff that happened to you. I understand it's sad that it happened, but what you trying to be?
That's right.
And you got to trust God to be that.
Larry, you know what, man? I can't get with, listen, I know my history. I know the true, let me be specific about this thing, okay? I know the true American black history.
Mm-hmm.
Not all that hoopla where you're going to put me in a small apartment, and you're going to give me a little bit of money for food and group me in a whole neighborhood with a whole lot of people
mm-hmm.
where I really don't want to be and limit me. I'm not talking about
mm-hmm.
that false history. I'm talking about the true history. We come from a people that were married.
We come from a family, a
group of people who believed on and lived on the ideas of individuality. And that is not being taught today. And
but you
no,
have to understand they separated that even in the slavery time. And, Jack,
uh-huh.
when they would use certain males, you know, just to breed.
Sure.
And,
right.
you know, and the whole thing, even when slave owners would purposely separate families.
Right.
So this is a generational curse
mm-hmm.
that we have to break. You know, I don't believe in generational curses. I can believe they can be broken.
Amen.
And whether it be in your family, whether it be in anybody else's family, it was a generational curse. So what? God breaks curses. And this is a new day. Like I said, stop dealing with all that stuff in the past, what was done to you in the past. past. What can be done for you in the future depends on you and the Almighty God. And you have to learn how to trust and believe God that you can do. God told you you can do all things.
Through him, that's right.
You know, he told you you're the head and not the tail. You know, so you have to start believing that thing, but just not believing it, but you have to start living that thing.
That's right.
Like you
That's
believe
right.
it. You know, if you know you're the head and not the tail, then you shouldn't be taking all kind of mess from anything. You shouldn't allow anything. That means you have power. Everybody keeps talking about Satan. Satan don't have no power. Satan is straight up punk.
Mm.
You know, all power was taken from him when Jesus died on the cross,
That's
went
fine.
Down to hell, and he came back with all the keys and all power. And he said, I'm going to give that to you if you want it.
Wow.
Now, if you sit there and don't accept it, that's yours. It's a free gift. All you got to do is accept it and take it and use it. Now, if you don't, then that's sorry, and I'm sorry for you, and I feel bad for you, but it's your fault.
Hey, man.
It becomes just that simple to me.
And that's just the truth. Like, that's something that we don't hear that much. That's reality. That's things that
mm-hmm.
people don't want to deal with. You know what I mean? They would rather blame it on this girlfriend or that boyfriend or this problem or that problem instead of anchoring down, working out your differences, and living for God and living for those kids and raising your kids, man.
Yeah, yeah. God is an awesome God, and it's your responsibility. God allowed you to have them babies, and if he blessed you with them babies, you have responsibility to deal for them babies and take care of them babies and forget about how you weren't taken care of. You just do better. And
mm-hmm.
every generation keeps doing a little better, it'll be contagious because
mm-hmm.
generation because then you teach your baby to do better and your baby teaches their babies to do better and it becomes contagious.
That's what I don't get. Like I'm from a place where we wanted to do better than our parents because we didn't
yeah.
have much. You know what I mean?
Your
so
parents
I
wanted you to do better than them.
Thank you. That's right.
If they were good parents.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's just the truth, you know? That's just the truth.
And from generation, that's what we should be doing. We should be setting the bar higher.
Hmm.
Except what a lot of families are doing, they're setting the bar lower.
Hmm.
You know, I had to go to church. And I was forced to go to church, so I ain't forcing my baby to go to church. Well, you a fool. You know, you're the fool. You know, you know, I had to go to school and had to do homework, and I couldn't stand it, so I ain't going to make my baby do that. Then you're the fool.
That's right. You should be forcing to do more.
Exactly.
You need to
hit it right on the head.
Yeah,
you hit
it
right on the head.
Hey, Larry, man, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just good talking to you, man. I'm going to get off the phone and let you talk to somebody else. I just wanted to share that with you. I've been talking to you on Facebook. You guys look like you're doing some great things. I'm proud of you. Keep on doing that because we need young men to step to the plate and get the word out.
Hey, man, I'll be talking to you, too, because, you know, we all over the place trying to do some better for somebody somewhere that will listen. You know what I mean?
Man, I'm with it. So just get with me. Anything you need me to do, I'm with you.
All right, my
brother. Making a difference, okay?
Hey, what's your favorite show, Larry?
Your show.
Hey, Larry, this is Kevin Daniels. You said anything you can do for us. I'm still waiting for that membership application to come in for FDF. What's good?
Yeah. I'm waiting on some more money to come in, man. Everything got me holed up on a lot of things. I got a pledge to my church. I saw that. You guys are on the list, you know. But we're trying to build in our church, and I made a $1,500 pledge. And, you know,
sure.
God always comes first, brother. So, you know, I'm trying to deal with that, and I'm still living because I'm semi-retired.
That's
so
right.
I got my bills, and, you know, but you guys are definitely on the list.
Larry, check it out. When you're ready, send me a message. KRRP is going to pay for your first month. So whenever you're ready to be a member, hit us up. We'll take care of your first month, and then you just do the rest. That's cool?
That's cool.
I
That'll
bet.
Work for me, okay?
All right. Take care, brother.
All right, take it easy.
You're listening to WMMG, home of the KRRP radio show. We're going to commercial, and we will be right back.
have a garage full of old junk? At least you think it's old junk. How about a storage that you've been paying the bill on for so long and you've just been moving stuff into and you're ready to get rid of it when you look at it all the time? Well, if you do, make sure you contact Faulkner's Antiques before you throw it away. Again, that's Faulkner's Antiques out of Burlington, North Carolina. Faulkner's will pay you top dollar for estates, sterling, old furniture, pottery, signs, old toys, and etc. Faulkner's Antiques, they specialize in some of the most prolific antiques in this part of Eastern North Carolina or the USA. So make sure you contact Wayne Prophet at Faulkner's Antiques, 336-214-6427. Again, that's Wayne Prophet. That's the man you want to talk to at Faulkner's Antiques, 336-214-6427. And if you get a hold of Wayne, guess what? He'll come to you free of charge. And if you can't get to him at that number, make sure you dial this up. 336-675-4897. Don't forget, Wayne Prophet, Wayne Faulkner's Antiques says, don't forget the reason for the season. Messing up in this winter, is the snow just getting on your last daggone nerves? Are you cold and you gotta put on a snuggie in the house? That's not comfortable. No, it's not comfortable. Are you a grown man wearing your wife's footies? Are they pink? You scared to go check your mailbox with your wife's footies on and as cold as it is inside as it is outside? Well, I'll tell you what you do. If you're looking for a friend, contact Riley Heating and Cooling. If your ductwork needs a facelift, Riley Heating and Cooling will facelift your ductwork. Are you getting the most for your dollar? If you're not, Riley Heating and Cooling will make sure you get the most for your dollar. Ask about their 5-point inspection service. They have trained professionals that offers 25 years of experience. To contact Riley Heating and Cooling, call 336-263-5111. Again, that's 336-263-5111, and you'll find a friend at Riley Heating and Cooling. Hey, if it's Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. and you got nothing to do, I want you to make some time. Grab your slippers, get your robe on, get some comfortable clothes on, leave your rollers in your hair, and get cozy, real cozy, with a drink and your computer. If you've ever been to a coffee shop before, this is a coffee shop you've never seen before, right in the comfort of your own home. Late Night Mike, every Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m., starring your host, Katrina Watkins, poet extraordinaire, and the host Act Right, my man holds it down, the purely poetic Late Night Mike poetry show. Hey, if you wanted some good poetry in your life, make sure you log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/purely-poetic.
We are in warfare, and Jesus Christ is looking for warriors that are willing to fight.
We need to leverage our political power and our political interests in both parties.
We have the opportunity to talk about how our values work, because when they're put in place, when we govern according to those values, they work.
If anybody is going to take on Mr. Barack Obama, it's going to be black conservatives.
When you push in abortion upon a population, you ask yourself, who's pushing it?
Democrats cannot win without the black vote.
The Jesse Jackson era is over.
Conservatism is neither white nor black. It's what's right. It's what's good.
Our community is everyone.
This is a Kingdom of God movement.
When I was in inner city pastoring, what I saw was the Democratic Party making inner city at that time a social wasteland.
Maybe it's you who needs to decide that you want something different and stop waiting for a politician to hand that to you.
We are serious about the mission that we have for the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and we stand on three basic pillars, and we don't apologize for it. but we are devoted Christians, first and foremost. We are proud black Americans and active Republicans. There are two issues that are facing our nation today that we don't allow anybody, if they want to get our support. You are pro-life, and you believe marriage is composed of one man and one woman at one time. We may not be the organization for you, and that's okay. We're not changing who we are.
I don't understand that. They won't mention that the vice chair. When I tell a lot of people this, even Republicans, they say, wow, we didn't know that. They didn't know that the vice chair of the North Carolina Republican Party is a black man named Dr. Timothy Johnson. Timothy Johnson is also the national chairman and founder of the Frederick Douglass Foundation. They don't mention that the KKK was a terrorist arm of the Democratic Party. They just talk about what they did to blacks, but they fail to mention, they forget that one little detail. And another thing they won't tell you is that from 1929 to 1974, North Carolina had a eugenics board, and they passed the Sterilization Act, which they forcibly sterilized 7,600 people, some of them as young as 8 years old. They don't mention that. Democrats were doing that.
WMMG, home of the KRRP radio show. We are back on the line. Basically 9 minutes to go before the end of the show. Man, I got mixed feelings about, I guess, the entire show, because coming into this show, I knew that all black fathers weren't bad, even just looking at myself and a few people in my circle and how they father their children or how they act towards their child or children. To me, this is a touchy subject because, well, here's the thing. It's amazing to me, as us being a minority, it's amazing that us being a minority, but we get so much publicity on negative social issues, like the topic of who's a good and who's a bad father. The only reason I took the time to say black father is because it's almost campaign time, and I was thinking back to when the president said what he said about black fathers, you know, how we don't take care of our responsibilities, how we need to do this, how we need to do that more. And like I said before, I identified with that originally. But the more I thought about it, it seemed that he just rolled in on the backs of, I think someone said he rolled in on the backs of black women with that mess. And I agree with that. I think he took that and ran with it. In my mind, that's a punk move. Yeah, I said that's a punk move. P-U-N-K, punk. That's a punk move. I think he could have took that opportunity to issue a challenge, if you will, to say that, hey, you know, as I said earlier in the broadcast, here I am, black man, let me talk to you. If that was me, here's what I would have said, I guess. And I'm going off impulse, so ride with me for a minute. To my black fathers out there, I understand your struggle. I also see the statistics, and that alarms me. It makes me wonder, is there something missing in the black community? Whatever that something is, I stand before you today to tell you that you can overcome it. I stand before you today as a black presidential candidate, the black presidential nominee for the Democratic Party, talking about Barack Obama, if I was him, I stand before you today to tell you that you can make a difference in your community. You can make a difference in your family. You can make a difference in your own life. And you can make a huge impact, a huge impact on the black race. It's no secret that there are a lot of things in the black race that needs to be done. It's no secret. But I will say that we can carry it on our backs. If I was him, I would also say, look at me. You know, forget him for a minute. Let me say this. Look at me and use me as your gauge. I will not be perfect by no means. I'm not close to perfect, but I strive for perfection. Even though I'm not perfect, there are things in life that I can be perfect at. And one of those things in life that I can be perfect at is at least, at bare minimum, being there for my children that I created, that I brought into this world, or that I helped bring into this world. That's one thing that we can all be perfect at. Doesn't matter what race you're coming from, what creed, what religion, doesn't matter where you're coming from at all. We can be perfect as being grown, responsible men and at least being there for our children. Being the example that they can look at and they can one day say, that's my dad, that's my father, and I'm proud about it. I'm proud that you're my dad, and I love you. Folks, the golden opportunity was passed. He didn't do it. And when we receive a message, when we receive something the way that he gave it from someone else, we criticize that. For example, Bill Cosby said some things that we, you know, people had a fit about. Bill Cosby said some of the same things that a couple of callers here said. Stop buying $200 shoes and invest in some education, invest in some books, invest in something that makes a difference other than your footwear, other than a style. And he was killed for that. Killed for that. People wrote him off for that. And there's some truth to it. I coach football. I try to mentor kids. There's a whole host of things that I do and that a whole lot of brothers that I know do, in the hopes that we can make a difference in somebody else's life other than our kids. Part of my reason for doing it is my love for people. Thank you, Lord, and for what I believe in. And it's also because I've done so much wrong in life that I feel like I need to share that with people. I need to show that, hey, man, even though I was out there selling drugs and hustling and doing crazy stuff, and I mean, you name it, even though I was out there doing that, here I am today and here I stand before you. And here's what it looks like. It's not easy. It's not going to be glamorous. It's not going to be fancy. But here I am, working, taking care of my kids, and yeah, I'm a black man. Anyway, man, that's my time. It's been a beautiful show. We can continue the conversation at Facebook. Hit us up on, everybody's got a Facebook. Hit us up on facebook.com/KRRP Radio Show. Next week, same time, same place. You can hit us up on Twitter @KRRP Radio Show. Got to give a shout out to the FDF.org, the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and FDFNC.org, Frederick Douglass Foundation of North Carolina. Shout out to my man Kevin Daines, who sat in with me tonight. He's been a regular lately. I appreciate that. Definitely can use the help. Shout out to everybody who's listening to the show. You guys are B.I.G. in my book. My folks at the Speed Co. at the Bridgestone. Shout out to you all. Shout out to everybody, man. You are B.I.G. in my book. Y'all go to the website, man. Sign up for that Love for Life, L for L. If you see me, like it. Shout out to everybody who's listening to the show on the website, www.krrpradioshow.com. Sound Chew, you in there. Late Night Mike, Purely Poetic, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m., I'm pretty sure. Make sure y'all tune into that, man. If you got some poetry you want to talk about or you got the speech you want to make or whatever, just shout out to everybody, man. I appreciate y'all coming through. Y'all definitely show me a lot of love, and I appreciate it. Y'all all been there for me. It is what it is. Same time, same place, next Sunday, 8 p.m. We're going to do it again.
Real gon' recognize, real. Pony gon' recognize, still. I reckon I will. Like we always do with this time. I go for mine. I got the shine. Now throw your hands.